Welcome back to On My Walk, the reading podcast that helps you capture reading's aha moments and apply them to your life and your leadership. Well, today, on my walk, I traveled back to 1815, courtesy of Bernard Cornwell, to a little village in Belgium made famous by a cold, wet, and miserable summer battle. The town was Waterloo. You know about the battle. Of course, Waterloo is famous for its battle and its leaders, Napoleon Bonaparte of France and the Duke of Wellington of Britain. And these two leaders, as all leaders, are both similar and dissimilar. But it's their similarity in one particular aspect that was my aha moment today. I'll talk about what both Napoleon and Wellington saw in just a moment, but first, let me tell you about the book and about its author. The book is Waterloo, the history of 4 days, 3 armies, and 3 battles. And the author is Bernard Cornwell. Cornwell, 74, was born in London. He attended London University and for 10 years worked for the BBC. He began as a researcher and ended his career as the head of current affairs television for the BBC in Northern Ireland. Now, his about page on his website says this: "It was while working in Belfast that he met Judy, a visiting American, and fell in love. Judy was unable to move to Britain for family reasons, so Bernard went to the States, where he was refused a green card. So get this, he decided to earn a living by writing, a job that did not need a permit from the U.S. government, and for some years he had been wanting to write the adventures of a British soldier in the Napoleonic Wars, and so the Sharp series was born. Now, Bernard and Judy married in 1980 and are still married, still live in the States, and he's still writing Sharp novels. Now, what's interesting about Cornwell is though he has written dozens and dozens of books, this is his first and perhaps only nonfiction book, and I am loving it. But back to my aha moment. Here's my aha moment. Leaders observe, assess, and take note. They see what others don't see. Let me explain. As Cornwell sets the stage for this epic battle in Waterloo, he describes both Wellington and Napoleon. And he begins with Wellington. And he said, "It was the summer of 1814, and Wellington, a battle genius, thought his fighting days were over. Napoleon had been exiled, peace reigned, Wellington was a diplomat now. But as he travels across the Netherlands with his entourage, as Cornwell notes, he observes, and what he observes is good positions for an army. And one of those positions was a valley which to most people's eyes was merely an unremarkable stretch of farmland. But to Wellington's eyes, it was a strategic plot of ground for fighting a battle were war to break out and a French army were to invade. This would be a precise place to take a stand. The terrain offered a defensive advantage." Now listen to Cornwell's description and his comment about Wellington. It appears 2 times. It's about Wellington's attention to detail.
"They could not see what lay beyond the crest of the northern ridge. They would have seen treetops in the country beyond, but the ground to the north was hidden, and if that French army decided to attack troops on that northern ridge, they would never know what happened on the far hidden slope. Were the defenders moving reinforcements from one flank to the other? Was an attack assembling there? Was cavalry waiting out of sight? The ridge, even though it was low and its slopes were gentle, was deceptive. It offered a defender enormous advantages. Of course, an enemy might not be obliging and make a simple frontal assault. He might try to march around the western flank of the ridge where the countryside was flatter. But nevertheless, the Duke made a mental note of the place. Why? So far as he knew, indeed so far as all Europe knew, the wars were over. Napoleon was exiled. The diplomats were codifying the peace in Vienna. Yet still the Duke made a point of remembering this place, where an invading army marching from France towards Brussels would find life horribly difficult."
So interesting. Wellington observed, he assessed, and he made note. Now the same was true of Napoleon. In 1814, the once mighty Napoleon, the world's conqueror, was exiled on the island of Elba with a personal guard of just 600 men. Think about it. The guy who once ruled 44 million people now stood only over 11,000 subjects. But Napoleon, he wasn't about to retire. Intent on being a good leader, even in relative obscurity, Cornwell writes, little escaped his attention. And we've got to pay attention to that because that is the characteristic that is the aha moment. Little escaped his attention. Napoleon wrote the following, inform the attendant of my dissatisfaction of the dirty state of the streets. Yes, Napoleon was a keen observer. And as Cornwell notes, his plans for that little island of Elba extended far beyond street cleaning. He wanted to build new hospitals, new schools, and new roads. Reading this, I'm standing back and saying, this is so interesting. These two great generals shared a characteristic common to all outstanding leaders. Here it is. They're outstanding observers. They see, they assess, they plan, and then they act. And as I reflected on that knack for observation shared by both Wellington and Napoleon, I thought of Albert Humphrey, the management consultant who led a research project at Stanford University back in the 60s and the 70s, and who's recognized for developing the SWOT analysis. SWOT, S-W-O-T, strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. That analysis that helps leaders observe factors both internal and external to their organizations, which in turn help them take the steps and make the moves that make their organizations more effective. And I use Humphrey's SWOT analysis quite frequently. But as Solomon notes, there's nothing new under the sun. And while Humphrey gave us the formalized tool that is the SWOT analysis, and it's such a good one, great leaders have been practicing observation and that particular tactic for centuries. And so I'm asking myself, and I would ask you, what are you seeing? How are you recording what you're observing? And what are you going to do with it and when? You see, leaders see what others do not. They see strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. And like Wellington and Napoleon, they utilize these observations, whether it be dirty streets or seemingly insignificant hills, to maximize their leadership efforts. And it was that insignificant hill that helped Wellington defeat Napoleon at the Battle of Waterloo. Leaders observe, leaders record, and leaders do something with what they observe and record. Well, that's my thought on my walk with the novelist Bernard Cornwell, whose only work of nonfiction is simply fascinating. Now, what you do with it, that's for you to work out on your walk through life.